And thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts DEP. You heard Kathy Baskin, our assistant commissioner for water resources, who not only plays a big role in all our water programs, but has the tech savvy to organize these calls this week. So thank you very much, Kathy. On the phone, we also have representatives from our headquarters, wastewater and other water program staff. We also have representatives of our regional offices at DEP around the state, recognizing that it's important for us all to be engaged in these conversations together. And if there are follow-up issues to work on, it will be helpful to have us all on. I would just note that the call is being recorded, as all of them have been. Our practice is to take a copy of this recording and put it on our website shortly after it's completed. We put that in at the same website where our questions and answers, our written questions and answers, many of those come from a result of these discussions on our website. So the recordings and the questions and answers are in the same place. I think in the invitation, Kathy Baskin indicated that, two ways that we get some questions in advance, knowing because we do this call regularly on a weekly basis, some questions come in advance. Some also will come in during this call, either through the chat, and I've got to get more high tech and actually be able to see the screen, or emailing Kathy at kathleen.baskin@mass.gov. So there are two additional ways to submit written comments, and then usually at the end of this we open it up to verbal comments if folks have a particular issue they'd like to have covered or things they want to talk about further. We also are lucky each week to be joined by EPA Denny Dart. From the EPA's Region 1 office has been kind enough to join us each week. And I do want to make sure that I am recognizing her and giving her an opportunity for any updates she might like to offer at this time. So, Denny, if you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself.
Hi. Thank you, Commissioner. This is Denny Dart. I just want to give an update on the reporting of discharge monitoring reports. I can't believe it's been two whole months. We now have the April data in, and I would like to say that there's not a single treatment plant that used the no discharge or no data indicator code Z for COVID that everybody is fully reporting and monitoring, it appears. So kudos to everybody, and thank you.
Wow, that's terrific. That's terrific. Thanks. Anything else, Benny? Or?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Terrific. And thanks again for you and your team being on the call. I did want to we have John Murphy from our licensing board, the chair of our licensing board. And I know we always provide an opportunity for John to give us updates. And it's also great that he can be on the call to help us with questions and answers. So, John, anything you'd like to highlight to start this call?
Yep. Thanks, Commissioner. From what we can tell, the exam sites are open. So if you are looking to take a wastewater exam, go onto the website and you can sign up. I received an application over the weekend from someone passing the exam. So that's encouraging. We're seeing plenty of online training available and we'll continue to expand over the next few months. So online training opportunities are gonna be pretty abundant for any needs there. And the board is continuing to process any applications that come in. So things are up and running from that perspective as well. So if anyone has any questions pertaining to certification, exams, training, just feel free to reach out to me, phone or email, and I'll be available. So that's the update from the board. Thanks.
Okay, great, John. Thank you very much. One of the things that I wanted to start by talking about, and we talked about it over the past few weeks, and hopefully you're actually starting to see the results of us working on this and talking about it. Denny Dart's colleague, Jane Downing at EPA Region 1 was able to successfully engage with with their headquarters and FEMA to get the cloth face coverings, the cloth masks for Massachusetts. And initially, we thought it was going to be around 30,000. The number's gone higher, which is good. And it's still kind of interesting. Some of these masks are still arriving at various locales around the state. So what, as you heard in the previous calls, we put out a survey asking people to identify their needs. In the first instance, when we thought we were, getting close, in the first instance, I think we identified about 31,000 masks that were needed. We now are in the process of actually delivering them. And I want to really thank our partners again. We had 8 utilities around the state, including Greater Lawrence, MWRA, Upper Blackstone, Springfield Water and Sewer, Brewster, Worcester Water, and others New Bedford, and a couple of others, along with groups like Mass Waterworks, NUIA, Mickey Nowak's group, and others, to arrange for the distribution. Because, as you know, these masks arrived, the federal government said, okay, where do we want them to go? So they went to these 8 regional areas. And then from there, those regional partners have done a tremendous amount of work in terms of breaking up the big shipment containers into the packages that would then go to the individual utilities, and making arrangement with all of the individual utilities to receive them. So far, about 26,000 of the 31,000 masks have been distributed to over 260 facilities. As I noted, we are continuing to get additional masks, cloth masks. And so while we're working on distributing the first 31,000, and we're almost done with that, we are trying to figure out how many more we have on hand. I think we have about another 20,000 over the 31,000 that we're potentially in a position to distribute. And so the team will be making arrangements to figure out how to distribute the rest of those masks. We're waiting a little bit to see how many more are coming in, but we're starting to think ahead about making sure that all of these masks are out there. So I'd like, again, to thank all of our partners, and I'd like to thank the DEP staff. We've had a number of people, led by Amy Finch, who's done a lot of the distributing work, and thank everybody for their efforts on that. And we'll make sure that we will keep you updated when we know how many more masks are in and what the plans are for the second phase. But thanks to EPA and FEMA and DHS for the cloth masks, and then thanks for our partners for helping us distribute them. So, just recapping a little bit, we'll be trying to make sure that we're updating questions and answers based on what we've gotten. Some of these are requiring a little more work. Others we're hoping to move pretty quickly on. So we'll keep updating our questions and answers page. And we'll let people know when we're doing that. But last week, when we were on the phone, we had just received the rollout plan, if you will, the phase one plan, and looking ahead at other phases, based on the reopening advisory board and the administration's announcements. Right now, we're still in phase one, and the big document, as I indicated, was the workplace safety standards, which are the requirements for anybody that's essential or considered a phase one business. And it has things related to social distancing, hygiene, including, face coverings, hand washing, surface cleaning, plans for training. And so that is still the document that mostly, I think, governs a lot of the sectors. We were asked, whether there would be things, more specific going forward. We're still sort of in the first phase here. We are staying in close touch with the command center and also with the liaison. They in turn liaise with the reopening advisory board, and if there is something sector specific, we will keep you posted. We did also get a question about safety protocol guidance for locker rooms and showers. We did do some research on that. There's nothing that was directly addressing that topic, although, you know, again, as the rollout plans develop, there may be more to follow. From our colleagues at DPH, there is CDC guidance related to cleaning, you know, cleaning and disinfection of areas. And so we'll put that up on our website and you know, provide that link to the person asking the question if they don't already have it. But you know, for right now, you know, there's nothing specific on locker rooms and bathrooms. But again, as things are developing, you know, particularly where we're talking about opening, you know, facilities, we're keeping an eye on that one. One of you asked about, you know, for some additional materials that help explain the difference between an N95 mask and a KN95 mask. We're going to try to get a link up, you know, that's a resource for, you know, the person that asked that question, and anybody else that's trying to deal, if you're dealing with your workforce on those questions, this is the best we can provide. People were looking for what the, what guidance do you have in terms of face covering? And we will be putting up some guidance about what we mean when we talk about face coverings. As you know, we've tried to make sure that the cloth masks are available for workers. And we've tried to publish our most up-to-date information on, CDC guidance and our own work when related to different parts of operations, whether you're in a treatment plant or in places where wastewater is aerosolized versus other circumstances where you're not confronting that. Questions that came in this week. There was a question, can the department provide utilities with guidance on how to use our regulations of 314 CMR 12 and regulations, and it's enabling legislation to help us stay immune from staffing furloughs by our municipalities. We're continuing to try to, you know, work on that. And as I've said on these other calls, we certainly recognize that water and wastewater utilities we definitely understand that you're confronting issues, significant issues, as a result of COVID, not just the cost of responding, but what's going to happen going forward as a result of lost revenues from decreased economic activity, maybe from people having trouble paying their bills. I think, as we've indicated, we're still looking to see what's going to happen in at the federal level. You know, I'm sure you've been seeing in the news the latest on stimulus packages and how much states and local governments receive. We're going to stay close to that. In the meantime, if your staffing is changing, I don't know that we can offer any broad generic advice, but I'd say if you're worried that your staffing is changing and falling below the regulatory requirements, to reach out to us at the DEP offices and let us know what you're confronting, and at least we will be aware of the situation and do our best to work with you in that situation. We got the question about whether utilities should continue split shifts. We've been trying to be supportive of utilities trying to make sure that they have enough people able to man the operations that they need to man. I think our guidance, our questions and answers are still relevant on the website. We're talking about, you know, the safety and staffing questions are still relevant. And if you're thinking about changing staffing levels or you're confronting situations, You know, let us know. Again, a lot of times we understand that circumstances may be changing as people move in, as people move into different phases of this, but we want to work with you on this. We did get a question. What information is available to our local boards of health regarding the risk of aerosolization of wastewater? We have a number of questions and answers up on our website that reflects what we know about it. Our Office of Research and Standards is continuing to do work on this. We're continuing to make sure that we know what's going on in terms of research work, and anything new that we learn, we will A, tell you about on this call, and also put up on that website. We did get a question about when will we be able to go into industries to do industrial sampling inspections and renew permits? This is our normal time frame to do industrial inspections and permit renewals. Or is it a town by town thing? Or is it up to the industry if they allow us in? And it sounds, and I think in coming, in our folks thinking about this answer, how to answer this question, I believe they did some work and they did some consulting with EPA. And I think Jay from EPA is on the line, and I'll open it up for him to say something in a moment. But, I just want to make sure that, we'll do our best to give you our answer but we're trying to make sure we're coordinated with EPA. So Jay, if you're on the call and would like to offer any comments on this, that would be terrific.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Commissioner. So I think that the question is twofold here is this is Jay Pimpari from EPA. Regarding the industrial pretreatment program and when industrial user permits can be renewed, and secondly, when municipalities can go out and do the inspections and the samplings at the facility. So I'll tackle the first one regarding the permits, which hopefully is a little easier one. The permit reissuance can be done at any point in time. Permit reissuance is more of an administrative procedure. It does not require an on-site visit. So unless COVID-19 has impacted your facility with respect to resources and getting the permits out there or renewed, really shouldn't play a role, since again, it doesn't require a physical on-site review of any processes, et cetera. So the permits can be renewed at any point in time and should be done. The second part of that is a very good question as far as inspections and monitoring goes at facilities. I think it's really this is my EPA position, it really comes down to your comfort levels. I think if anyone's having an issue with getting your inspections or monitoring done of industrial users, please contact me directly. As has been pointed out on numerous calls by Denny, and thank you, the temporary enforcement policy may kick in here if you're unable to meet some of your NPDES permit requirements. And again, the pretreatment program falls under that. So if you're having any issues, and a few people have already reached out to me directly as well, doing those inspections, just reach out to me. Again, with social distancing and the state slowly but surely easing up on the guidelines, there's no real definitive time frame yet, as far as I understand. It's going to be based on everyone's comfort level and certainly the industry's comfort level on whether or not they're going to let you in the door. So, again, any issues at all, just contact me directly. If Kathy or someone could put my contact information out there. For the approved pretreatment programs, you already have that anyway, but hope that answers the question.
Jay, thank you. Thank you very much. That was very helpful. I appreciate it. And I think if I'm seeing right, this note from Kathy Baskin, I guess John Murphy's also done some research and talked to some systems. Am I correct, John? Is there anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
Yeah, no, just following up with what Jay has said, from everyone that I've reached out to, no one has done any industrial inspections over the past 2 months. So I think it's going to be kind of following what Jay said. So I would recommend reaching out to Jay with any questions.
Okay, terrific. Thank you, John. Thank you. So I think that's it for the incoming questions that, you know, came prior to, you know, this call being initiated. I don't know if we've gotten anything on the chat screen or any emails in. Kathy, I'll defer to you.
Yes, hello. So we do have a few calls that seem to be directed, I mean, questions that are directed to John Murphy. People are interested in information about testing. So there is a question about when will in-person training begin? That's the first one.
First one. So in-person training with the current group gathering restrictions, I wouldn't want to guess when that would be. As it currently is, we're following, you know, governor's guidelines. And when groups are able to gather again and you know, spaces, I believe we'll start seeing the training kind of follow suit. But right now with social distancing, masks, sanitizing, in-person training is pretty difficult.
Okay, great. Thank you. The second question related to training is, are there any opportunities for online training for people looking to get into the wastewater field, like an intro to wastewater treatment operations?
Yep. So NWEPIC is moving the MWOT training, which is the Massachusetts Wastewater Operator Training Program, into pieces online. So they're going to be broken into 2 and 3 hour chunks. So the basic wastewater course will be split up into small pieces, and those trainings through NWEPIC should be coming out in the upcoming weeks. So I would follow them, and there'll be opportunity for online training there. There's also different manuals to potentially self-study, and we have a sheet about that, so we can post that. That sheet is posted to the NWEPIC website in the wastewater area. So you'd be able to find that there with different correspondence courses and manuals to study off of. But you can give me a call too, and we can kind of walk through a process in getting prepared for a basic exam.
Great. And since you said you can give me a call, what's your number, John?
Yes. 617-352-3375. So 617-352-3375.
Okay, great. And then somebody was wondering, I think out of curiosity, if you have seen an increase in the number of applications.
Yeah. So with the exam site being shut down for the past 2 months, we haven't seen many new license applications coming in. We've seen a bunch of change of statuses. And, you know, we were really cranking at the beginning of the year. People were taking the exam and passing, which was encouraging. And I'm hoping now that the exam sites are open back up, people have used the past few months preparing and are ready to pass some exams.
Great report, John. Thank you for that information. I'm really exciting to hear about some of the stuff being online too. Very, very encouraging. Kathy, are there other questions?
Yes. Yep. So, and also there's a comment on, online training, and that is that Roy CEU has some nice online training and practice tests. So that's an FYI for folks. And then here's a question. I think it's more directed to you, Commissioner. This person is seeking guidance on plans for a suspected case response plan. And I'm not really sure exactly what that means, but and are there quarantine and contact tracing requirements for a confirmed case? The staff is wondering if they have a case, must or should all staff on that shift quarantine? So perhaps it's a case where someone has been in contact with COVID on the staff.
Yeah, I would first and foremost start with reaching out to your local Board of Health see what kinds of protocols, what kinds of tracing, what kinds of requirements that they are going to, they're going to require. It's, I think that is really the place that, you should be going to and working with working with them to make sure that, whatever the protocols are, whatever the follow-up they want to do, whatever the reporting that needs to be done. So I'd very much encourage work with the local Board of Health.
Okay, and so we don't have any more written questions through the chat or through an email, and you can email me a question if you want. I did post my email address in the chat, but maybe we should open it up.
Yeah, in the meantime, if you want to unmute yourself, star six and ask something, this would be a good time, or make a comment. Okay, doesn't look like we have any takers.
I just got an email from somebody.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see if this is, okay, so this person is asking, is there any study checking for acquired immunity or partial immunity in wastewater workers? Wastewater workers are a unique subset of the population that are in contact with inactivated or thought to be inactive COVID-19 viruses or parts of viruses found in wastewater. If wastewater personnel seem to statistically have a lower rate of COVID-19 infection, then it is possible that the contact with inactive COVID-19 in wastewater is causing acquired wastewater immunity or partial immunity. Testing for traces or COVID-19 is being done at some wastewater treatment plants to assess community infection rate. So we know wastewater workers have contact with assumed inactive COVID-19 pieces. We might be able to test this by doing some testing. And this person gives an example below.
That's a really interesting question, and I think it's one that we will definitely bring to our colleagues at the command center and at DPH, because you're getting to an interesting issue. It is such a new virus. What do we really know about it? What do we know about it as it relates to certain subpopulations? And you're making some really, the person raising the question is making some really interesting points about people that work, in the field and those types of facilities. I don't have an answer today, but I think it's a really fascinating question. And we will see we'll talk to our Office of Research and Standards, the Command Center, and our colleagues at DPH, and say that we have gotten the suggestion. And Kathy, I'd very much appreciate it if the sender is comfortable, forward it to me so I can forward it on to those, to those folks, because I think it's very well stated, and I'd like to make sure that everybody that's, thinking about these types of issues gets a chance to see it.
It's already in your inbox.
Yeah, okay, great. That was fast. Great, terrific.
Yeah. And let's see, I don't see any other written questions here.
Okay, and we previously made the unmute offer. So if there's if there are no other questions, again, we will be updating our questions and answers. There are a couple of things, including the most recent comment, that we agreed that we would take back to the command center, try to get a little more guidance on. We are staying close to seeing how the reopening guidance plays out. The masks, we will continue to distribute the cloth face masks and, continue to make sure that we are wisely distributing those resources to all of you. And with that, we'll update it again. And we'll, any information we get in the meantime, we, of course, will try to push out through the various email blasts and other methods that we can utilize. And also, we will plan on being back on the call again a week from today. So with that, I thank everybody for their time. I hope everybody stays safe and stays healthy, and I wish you the best for this upcoming Memorial Day holiday. So thank you, everybody, and we'll talk again next week.